Welcome, pudding people, to another episode of Everybody Loves Pudding. We are your hosts, Richard Geiger, Ken Seymour, music aficionados,
and so much more. But right now we'll be music aficionados.
Yes, I like to think that we like a little bit of everything, even if we don't always agree exactly on, you know, where the good stuff starts and ends. That's what makes things interesting. That's what allows us to do things like share specific albums that we haven't heard before with one another, to get our take from our own personal perspective, to decide whether we think that this is something that we would have enjoyed were we to have listened to it when it came out in the first place.
It's not the first time we've done this.
No.
We've done a few in the past, and the items provided have been, you know, a good variety of styles of music.
Yeah.
You know, one was the greatest band in the universe, and then
there's also the other crap that Richard gave to me to listen to.
Dang.
It's been a long day, folks. I'm going to take that back. I'm going to walk that statement back. I didn't mean that. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. You did. But this time, I think we had a little bit more even keel in terms of what we've suggested, right?
Yeah.
Same style. Mm-hmm. No, not really. Well, yes, same genre, let's call it.
Same genre.
Not the same style, same genre. And older, mm-hmm. you know, 90s, early 2000s.
Right.
So it's a nice little change of pace. And, you know, some of the ones that we've done in the past where we're like, oh, this is one of my favorites, or like a top one. But this one, I think this time was just like, let's try something. Like,
right.
You know, for me, for example, it's harder to find an album or an artist that maybe you haven't listened to once. So I tried to find one that was the case.
Yeah, definitely did. I always enjoy listening to something for the first time, especially if I feel like I should have heard it when it came out, which this kind of falls into that category. I feel like this would have been right into the realm that I would have enjoyed, but somehow I just missed it. So, you know, very cool. And I tried to do the same thing, you know, something that I thought, as opposed to, this is something I absolutely love that I want you to hear. It's more, this is something that I think maybe you will enjoy.
Yes, I tried to think along the same lines as well. You know, in the past, knowing that Guar would not really be one that you would have enjoyed.
Didn't resonate.
But just almost not, well, yeah, forcing you to hear one album from start to finish, just to, you know for certain, 1,000%, that it wasn't your bag.
Hey, it was worth it.
But in this instance, I think your point is right. These were the attempt was to be more, hey, I think you'll enjoy some or part of this.
Right. So without further ado, we decided to share from two specific groups, and these are groups, not individual artists. Richard was kind enough to suggest to me WC and the Mad Circle, Curb Servin', came out in 1995.
So long ago, maybe in our first season, we did our top rap or hip hop albums.
Mm-hmm.
Is that our first or second?
Really early.
Early. And one of, if not the number one spot for me, was an album that had WC in it.
Yes.
West Side Connection. One of the three members in that. So I more recently, because I have a music subscription, and I've preached before the selling points of having a music subscription, and one of those is you can listen to whatever, right? If you find an artist and a genre that leads you into other artists and similar genres, then you have that capability to listen to whatever, whenever. And I was on a big West Side Connection kick, and it just trickled down to all the WC and the Mac 10 stuff, and here we go.
Yeah, and I got to say, Mac 10, generally speaking, you know, that's right in my wheelhouse. I enjoy that quite a bit. And Ice Cube, I also enjoy quite a bit. So, you know, it's just one of those things. It's like, okay, so a precursor, kind of let's see where that goes. Mm-hmm. So we're going to start there, and then we're going to go to the one that I gave to Richard, which was Handsome Boy Modeling School, White People. So we'll kind of go from there. So let's start with the beginning. What about this particular album kind of spoke to you to give to me in the first place?
Okay. My preference, and I know we've talked in the past about like your favorite rap or hip hop artists, and my leanings tend to go more West Coast, mm-hmm, and South, but not necessarily East Coast. And I think you're pretty all around, but some of your favorites are more East Coast than some of the other platforms, I would say.
It changed because back when I started listening to rap, it was definitely more West Coast when I started. But then I started hearing where the origins came from and how things changed, and I got schooled. Sounds like somebody showed me I was, mm-hmm, wrong about something, but I became more educated, and it just opened me up to a lot more different options.
And you can definitely tell a difference, because a lot of the West Coast stuff is a little bit, it can be a little bit more, you know, guns and hoes and stuff. It can be. And I feel like a lot of times the East Coast can also be that.
Well, I was going to say.
But it's, I don't know, it's more... There's a different tone to it to me.
There's definitely a different tone. It's a lot about the music that they used to sample.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the West Coast at the time was sampling from funk and sampling from the 70s disco era beats and things like that. So it gave it a flow and a rhythm that was you know, very infectious in that way. So when there is the party with us feel, if you look at the old Dr. Dre things, when he used to be a DJ, he dressed up as a doctor. He was in scrubs. So, I mean, it's that kind of influence, that direction where it came from, whereas the East Coast is more kind of hardline. It's got a harsher element to it,
mm-hmm,
and a lot more percussive influences. And it's not that they don't have flow, it's just the flow is different.
Yes, and for me, the thing that resonates is what you said before, which was more of that funk thing. Now, most rap and hip-hop is very bass heavy anyway,
right?
But I like the funk elements more so in my hippity hops. So I think that's why I lean more towards some of the West Coast things in general. And when it comes to this particular one, once again, we mentioned before, it's mid-90s,
mm-hmm,
and that was kind of our, we talk a lot about our mid-90s and our love for grunge and the rock that was in that era. Well, the hip-hop, yep, was, and the rap was that era as well. So a lot of our growing up was revolved around a lot of these artists. And it took me, oh gosh, 30 years, that's not true, that's not, 20 years, 25 years, to revisit some of these artists. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, like some of these albums are just, it's like there's a whole new set of music for me, because I never had the opportunity, because I would have had to have purchased these CDs,
mm-hmm,
and known about these artists long ago. So this was just one of them. And WC has plenty of solo, like a lot of solo albums. And they're fine, but there's a sweet spot with those, just, yeah, like most of the artists that we listen to. They have a sweet spot that they
fall into. Two or three particular albums that are maybe their better work, or where they hit their stride before they overplayed themselves and got into a rut or couldn't come up with something new or whatever.
Correct. And what I listen to with this, and with more of the Mac 10 albums that I've been listening to, and some of the other ones like All From the Eye, they're all interweaved in there. Mm-hmm. Like you'll see them as guests on each other's albums all the time, and maybe even more heavily featured on each other's albums all the time. And I kind of like that aspect of it because they work well with each other. They know they probably are like, yeah, I'll do it. You know, like it's not some type of hardcore negotiating thing. Like, can you come next week? Yeah, I can be there. I feel like they're not a family, but you know what I'm saying? Like it's that connectivity.
Yeah,
that kind of kept them all together.
Well,
but this is one of those just kind of in the same time frame, but just kind of a little different.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things. A lot of times artists will recognize that individually they think they're good and they know they're good, but together they're a lot better.
Yes.
And even without the fact that they know that they blend, they'll have more draw because the more names, the better in order to get. That's why you have the tracks featuring so many different artists sometimes, to the point that SNL made a joke about it. You know, if SNL can make a joke about that, it has to have come quite a distance to the level of absurdity. But so, yeah, this band, you know, or this group, I should say, begins early 90s, goes mid 90s, has Coolio as a member earlier, though he only features on one track in the album you get.
In this one, yep.
So, you know, I was, you know, big fan of Coolio to begin with it anyway. So I'm ready. I'm going into this and I'm going to listen to it and I'm ready to say, all right, let's see where this is going to go. And as soon as the intro plays, I go, oh, they stole that music from Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg. So they didn't steal it from Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg. They're just using the same samples that was used on the Chronic. And you just blatantly, 100% not possible to not recognize the Parliament track that they're cutting from.
Hey, if you know a good thing, right?
Yeah, it's hard to go wrong with Parliament. But they waste it on an intro.
Well, that's okay.
Well,
do it on the intro, not a 4-minute song. Well, you've already heard the beats before.
Well, that's the thing. I had to think about it. It's like, why would they do that? Not only do they do something that was just used really well, and they just waste it on an intro. Oh, it's just to get you in the mindset. Get you ready for the rest of the album. So I was like, all right, I'm ready. And first up, we got West Up, which is hard. It's actually one of the singles off of the track, and it's the only one that has Mac 10 and Ice Cube in it.
Yep.
It's like, oh, this album's going to be kick butt. Because I'm listening to it, I'm getting into it. It's like, all right, this is going to be great. You know, because a lot of times the intros and the jokes, you know, those are secondary. I don't care about those anyway.
Yes, yep.
And then it was kind of downhill from there for me.
Yes, they give you the hot, like they get you going into it. And it's not uncommon. Right.
Right.
A lot of albums, you'll
stack
have that
early
ebb and flow of things. And that's okay, too.
Yeah.
But yes, sometimes when you lead with the best that you have to offer, it does make it harder to progress through the rest of the tracks.
A lot of the really good rock bands and stuff learn that and they go, okay, we need to wait at least until track 5. Before we put that big song that everybody's going to love, because we want to get them into the groove and get them to really like the rest of it. Because once you play that track, there are those people that may not listen to anything else off of the CD. This is back in the days when there were CDs and tapes, and then you had to play to a certain point.
Correct.
And not, you know, maybe you get one track after that, two, if you're lucky, and then everything else is just ignored.
I was always a fan on a lot of albums of the 9s and the 10s.
Yeah.
And I can't explain that, but something resonated with me all the time, and I always look at it. Oh, it's track 9. Oh, it's track 10. It was one of those two all the time.
Well, they would always bury, like, the gem that they loved
mm-hmm.
there, and then you could get in that mindset. You would, at least that's what I imagined, because I had a similar thing. It's like, you know, whatever the next-to-last track is, that's the one they like the best. That was always my thought process.
Yeah, the studio and the company releasing it, whether it was, you know, Warner Brothers or whatever, they had their favorites. And they were the ones that they were going to push. But
yeah, so we go into this, and just as a reminder, the producers on this are Crazy Tunes, who's no longer with us anymore, and we got some Dr. Jam and Madness for Real. We got some Ice Cube in some of it. You know, so when I say it went downhill, I'm not saying it did bad, because I don't think there's a track on this that I thought was really bad. The worst it got was, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those things, like, I could have this on in the background and it would work. And you know what? If I listened to this a couple of times, I might even like it a little bit more, but it would never get past goodish, with some exceptions. In a twist, track 7 that had Coolio on it. Again, it's just that they gelled. They gelled together. Now, I will say this. That was one where it felt like WC was trying really, really, really hard to sound like Dr. Dre. Just like so hard to sound like Dr. Dre.
And I've never, I guess I've never really felt like he has done that. In a sense that when you play the albums that he is a guest in, I always recognize him. Right. When you listen to those artists enough, you're going to recognize their voice and their style and their mannerisms. And I always felt like he was recognizable the more I listened to him. Same thing with Mac 10 and same. Well, everybody knows, like, not everybody. Everybody knows Ice Cube. But that's not entirely true. But I never felt that he needed to. I always thought he had a good, unique sound on his own.
No, he's got a solid voice, but I feel like there may have been some pressure at the time because the Chronic was so big and the West Coast artists were doing so well and just everything they touched turned to gold at that point in time, trying to ride just a little bit on that, not coattails, but trying to pick up that flavor just a little bit more.
Yeah, he'd been in the scene, let's call it, for quite some time.
Right.
It's just that he hadn't had his moment, let's call it, until he was able to get on some albums, do some tracks with some people.
Right.
Which I guess is, you know, most artists anyway.
The 8th track, Homesick, was also interesting. And I couldn't put my finger on it first because when I listen to this, I always like to listen to it just blind. I don't want to know who's going to be on what track. I don't want to know who's produced what track so that I can, you know, kind of come to my own conclusions without coloring it with a pre-bias of any kind. But I felt when I listened to the 8th track, it's like, okay, this one's different. Why is this one different? There's no guest really on it. But something in the styles. Oh, okay. And looking at it, it's produced by Ice Cube. Okay, that makes sense. If you're going to get it produced by Ice Cube, it's going to have his particular style affect it a little bit and in how it hits. He also, now Ice Cube, even though you think West Coast a little bit, he still had a lot of East Coast influence on what he did. It was that same kind of more harsher percussive way of delivering things. So that's kind of what I felt in that particular track. Curb Servin' was actually, you know, the self-titled, solid.
Mm-hmm.
Solid track too. I enjoyed that. The rest of them, take it or leave it, kind of was how I felt.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely some good highlights. And of course, we keep mentioning that WC is obviously the main one, but it's a group and everybody participates in their own way through this. But I think this is a good intro or segue to listen to the first couple of solo albums that he's got that came out after this.
Oh, yeah,
like
definitely.
Late 90s. And I think if you liked this one, you would like some of those first couple as well.
Yeah, I think so. So, I mean, this is one of those things, once I've listened to it, it's like if somebody would ask me, should you listen to this album? It's like, well, if you like kind of 90s West Coast hip hop, yeah, give it a listen. You'll probably like it, at least a couple of the tracks on it. And I, you know, it's pretty solid all in all.
Yeah.
And then we go to the flip-flop, the other side of the coin. We got Handsome Boy Modeling School, which doesn't really sound like a rap group of any kind, but it's really kind of interesting, I thought, because of the concept of it all, having a couple of producers that produce such big, well established and well known groups that have such clear sounds. to come together and then get the people that they're on. It's like, well, I think he might enjoy this, because as opposed to having one unified feel, it could have some variation to, at least, even if, you know, some of them may not be quite to the taste, I bet a couple of them for sure. And at least one of them's going to confuse him. That was what I was waiting for.
True. Yes.
So what did you think of this?
Well, I think when I was listening to this, I had asked you after I listened to some of this, like, had you listened to this other album?
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, what was that one? I can't even think of it.
You were talking about one of the founding members of Nerd.
Yes. And they have an album, and I can't think of the name. Anyway, it's the same type of thing where he and a couple others are producers, and they bring in different artists of different types of, you know, genres all across the board, and they have a complete album that's got rock songs in it, it's got rap, it's got, you know, the last song's got at this point in time it was Dirt McGirt. Anyway, so like there's a good variety of it. And then initially listening to this, I was like, yeah, this is a poor man's version of that album.
Pharrell,
yes.
I was going to give you some time to eventually percolate, because we both need it when it's, you know, recording at almost 11 in the evening.
Yeah, brain parts don't work too well. But unlike you, I did get to listen to this twice. So the first time I did exactly what you would do, which was just, I'm going to listen to it. You know, a lot of the listening is in the car. And so the car has a display on it, and the display shows the people that are in it. And when I just took a glance at a lot of the things anyway, I didn't recognize probably 2/3 of the people that were guests on it anyway. So it wasn't going to matter to me when I was listening to it as to who showed up. But there was definitely a couple that showed up. They're like, oh, I know who that is. I don't have to look at the notes. I know who that is. And when going through this, like I said, the first time I just listened to it, there were definitely things that I picked up on. And then when I listened to it again, I was like, yeah, that's still there and it's bugging me and I got to write it down. So like I put little snippets of things for each of the tracks. Now, the one thing I will tell you on this one, you can even see the link that says 68 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of the sketches throughout this, and they're painfully annoying.
Yes. They're really bad.
It's not that it's just...
One of them's kind of funny, and the rest of them are just really bad.
Really bad. And there'll be a song for 5 minutes, and then the last minute of it is a continuation of the sketch. The sketch kind of goes from top to bottom, and they're just... It's just dumb. I get what they're trying to do. And they're trying to be silly. It's not even silly or funny. It's just annoying.
So for those of you listeners who are not familiar, it starts with somebody known as Father Guido Sarducci. And I was talking about SNL. That's an alum from old school,
yep.
SNL. And so not only do you get him, but you also get another SNL alum in here with Tim Meadows coming up multiple times. Thank you, handsome boy, modern school.
So one of his best characters, of course, was Leon Phelps,
right,
the ladies' man. And if you got Guido Sarducci by name, could you not get the ladies' man by name?
Well, I would say there's a little more to get that, because it's more current. People know who it is. There's some cost to it.
Yeah, that's what I was...
Nobody knows who Guido Sarducci. Half the people that would have found that funny are dead by now.
Yeah, I knew, but I was like, what does this have to do with anything?
Right.
Why? Yeah, like an SNL character from like the 70s.
Right.
And I was like...
A little weird.
Oh, okay. Anywho, that starts. That's how the album starts. Is a reference at the time it was, you know, 20, 25 years old or whatever. But for us now, it's like 50 years old. So it's like, it's just, it's not funny. Okay.
No, no.
Anyway, so the song, the first actual song, the first track that had a song, I my initial thought after listening to it and then hearing a lot of the songs afterwards, the first time I was like, that might be the only good song that's on this entire album. And I could tell after listening to it, I was like, oh, okay. And it says featuring De La Soul. I was like,
right.
Okay. So it's more polished.
Yeah.
And the producers, one of the producers had worked with De La Soul.
Right.
So like, of course this is going to make sense. It's going to sound congruent. So cool. Like once again, they got off to, you know, the
really strong start.
Strong start. And then after that, it's the intro is good on this one, but the vocals in that track are really bad. Like bad.
Talking about the second one, the Are You Down With It?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't.
You're not a fan of Faith No More?
Well, that's not what they were singing, though.
No. No, the second one's kind of,
Like you're actually, there's this beat that goes along, and then you the first thing you hear are like off key, off tone, off beat vocals coming in that it sounds like the person is really trying to not be that way. They're just not meant to sing that song. I'm just right. Okay. It never got better. So I just was like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, that track's not on my mix. Yeah. But the fourth one
The fourth one is. Okay, so that's the one that I have on there as funky.
Right.
And not too bad.
Yeah.
Yep. So it's
Del the Funky Homo Sapien.
Yeah, that one, that if I remember that song, it's obviously you always have a lot of people that come in with this one, right? There's mm-hmm. there's featuring three people on there. Mm-hmm. The song was good. So, Franz Ferdinand. Oh, okay. But yeah, I just have funky, not bad as my notes for that one.
And then they go to a skit that lasts way too long.
Yeah, so if you look, it's called The Dating Game, which is a overplayed scenario.
Right.
It's somebody doing an impersonation of Jay-Z. It's somebody doing an impersonation of one of the Wu-Tang Clan. And then it's Tim Meadows playing the not ladies man character.
Right.
And like the impressions are... The impressions are okay.
Yeah, they're pretty solid. It's just not funny.
It's just not funny.
But then you get a song with Jack Johnson in it.
Here. Okay. I'm biased.
Mm-hmm.
Beat is okay. Jack Johnson is annoying.
You don't like Jack Johnson. He is very polarizing.
Jack Johnson is never an artist that I enjoyed, and he was immensely popular for a stretch. With a lot of songs that get played, like airtime, played, overplayed. You go to a party, you go to a bar, and they're playing this.
Banana pancakes?
Whatever it is, it's just when it came on and the beat starts playing, I'm like, okay, this is okay. But then Jack Johnson starts, and I knew I did not have to look at the name. It was like, oh, that's Jack. Oh, it's Jack Johnson.
Oh man.
Gross. And the thing about it is the song, the beat, and
it's
Jack
fun.
Johnson,
it's
they
fun.
Don't go together. It's off. It just doesn't meld well to me.
So here's the fun thing. This is a song of Jack Johnson's already. This is a re-recording, a reinterpretation of a song he already did. So if you listen to the original and then you listen to this, then you'll kind of see where they're going with it. They're just trying to make it. Well, they're trying to hip-hopify it a little bit.
Yeah, like it's got a slower tempo to it, and I can it just stick with the original. Let's just say that.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I enjoy it because I do like Jack Johnson, but it's like, you know, it's like, I don't know if he'll like this. I don't know if I've ever talked to him about Jack Johnson. That's the surprise. That's like, there's no way he's going to expect Jack Johnson to appear in the middle of this album. yeah, good stuff. All right. So then we go to It's Like That, I Am Complete, featuring Casual.
So here's what I got with this one. And I heard it the first time, and I heard it the second time, and it's one of those hyper-focused things that I can't hear anything else on the song, but they have a sound effect, but it's made by your mouth. So, like, when Eminem does songs,
right,
and he does a sound effect with his, like, he does machine guns with his, yes, like, with his mouth, like what you used to do when you were 8 years old and play in the backyard. Like, I think it's... Yeah. And it plays through the whole song, and it's so dumb. It's very distracting. And I'm going to guess like 60% of the people that would listen to the song would never even notice.
Wouldn't even register.
And that's the first thing I noticed. And I was like, okay, it's in there once, but it's the whole song. The whole song. And to top it off, what's at the end? A skit.
Thank you, handsome bum out in school.
Yeah. Yes. You know, like, it's not that one. It's later on. You know, telling him how to wash his junk. You know, like, oh, great, cool, thanks. You know, there's those little skits that are at the end, like I mentioned, and that's one of them. Just like, okay, well, I have to listen to the sound effect for 4 minutes, but then all of a sudden now there's
it's just gone.
A skit. Oh, my gosh.
Darn it. Come on, man. Now, I thought you'd enjoy the Cat Power. In tracking.
Okay, so that one I have, great song. So I really like that song. There is, that song's 5 minutes long. There's a spot in the middle where they tried to change the beat or add a little extra to it for just like a couple measures, and it sounded awful. And I'm like, oh my God, what are you doing?
And then they bring it back.
I was like, So when you listen to this song, it's actual good vocals over a very good beat, and they go well together. So they made a good combination of the two things. And after listening to the album a second time, I think this one might be my favorite on the entire album.
It's really good. It's quite good. I liked it a lot better than I personally even liked most of the tracks. Definitely liked it better than I liked the ninth track.
Well, okay, so what I have with the ninth track is, and this goes back to, that's Chester Bennington. Okay, cool. It's, like, could you possibly have guessed that in the late 90s, early 2000s, Chester Bennington would show up as a guest on a song?
Right.
It just doesn't make sense. Yeah, he was everywhere, and it's not a bad thing. There's nothing wrong with Chester and Mike Shinoda's on there too. It's both
right,
of them.
Right.
It's not bad. I was never a Linkin Park fan. I don't own any of the albums. I've listened to like five songs. I just never cared. But him being a guest on this, I was like, oh, it's the obligatory rock song on here now. But the problem with this one is they did classical music,
yes,
which is fine,
yeah,
but it's there's no creativity to it. It's not very good. It's just, If you go on to like Instagram or TikTok right now, you can find 1,000 artists doing the same exact thing they did in this mix for 7 minutes. So right, it's nothing to me. It was nothing special.
It was too long. Too many people in it.
Yes, I have cute in quotes cute mix over classical, and then the obligatory Chester Bennington, and then of course, what could possibly be at the end of this song?
I don't know what you're talking about.
more skit. just to top it off, more skit. So great.
Oh, but then you get to go into something a little bit better.
The Hours. with Chino Marino. Okay, beat. Awful vocals.
Yeah.
So
that like describes the Deftones completely.
and the resurgence in love for the Deftones is amazing, except for the fact that they're not really that good. They've got one album that's got one song on it that is a elite tier. It's a great song, but really listen to that album and it's just, it's okay. I've tried because I was like, well, it's the same genre of some of my favorite artists. Let's get in there.
It's
yeah,
not the same.
It's just not. And I don't want to badmouth the Deftones.
No,
just
they're okay.
It's just
not our wheelhouse.
No.
You prefer more screaming. I prefer melodic. They're neither.
They're neither. No, it's just not it. It's not for me. And I like it once again. I'm glad they're seeing a resurgence recently.
Right.
But really, it revolves around one song, but still, I see Deftones info all plastered across the internet. So cool, but listen to a couple albums. That's all I got to say.
So I got to ask you this: you know, when you were talking to me, it's like, oh, I've listened to three or four of the songs, and you gave me, it's like, oh, this is just like a Pharrell album. Do you remember that I giggled a little bit when you said that?
Yes, because he's on here.
Oh yeah.
It's what I have here. So, in the previous one I have rap interlude was okay.
Right.
But in the one that Pharrell did, I have It's Weird.
It is.
And it makes sense that it's Pharrell. If you listen to it, it's got some.
It's very experimental.
Weird stuff. It's weird, but not catchy is what I put for my notes. But okay.
Right.
Weird, not catchy, but okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's one of those things. One of the things I like about any artist is an artist that'll take a chance. And sometimes it'll work and sometimes it won't. And you know what? I'm glad that they take that chance because, you know, maybe it'll lead to something really awesome down the road or whatever, even if I don't like whatever track it's on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so seeing, having Pharrell on there, it's like, yep, for this time period, that's right.
Yeah. He was, doing a lot.
Yes, he was.
A lot for other artists, to be honest with you. Like, working hard.
And then we go to First and Then, which is, I thought, a pretty solid song. It was one of those background songs.
Except for the, and then?
Yeah.
Repeatedly throughout the song.
I kind of liked it, though, because it was silly. It made, well, I'm not sure what it reminds me of, but there's like some sitcom thing that it reminded me of. It's like, it's almost like back in the day when it was, you know, that was the big thing. I would giggle every time I heard it. And so when I hear the song, it's like, and then it's like, oh, yeah.
Because what is that from? And then.
That's Seinfeld. Isn't it? No, it's Harold and Kumar.
Yes. Okay. Was that about this time, too? I don't remember. I think it was.
Oh, no, it wasn't. I'm sorry.
Was that Harold Kumar?
Dude, Where's My Car?
Oh, definitely around this time. Yep.
Yes.
So what I got out of that was really annoying. But the actual music piece itself, I put a note in there, was really East Coasty. And
yes.
It reminded me in snippets of Tribe Called Quest.
Yeah.
So in that aspect, cool, but I can't get past the.
But not your thing, and that on top of it would just break it. Though I figured you would love A Day in the Life.
A Day in the Life. Okay.
Except for the end.
Except for the end, which was, you guessed it, another skit. I think that was the one that was about, you know.
Now I will call ladies back to let them know I am okay.
Or maybe that was one about not farting in front of the ladies.
It's possible.
It's one.
Anyway, they're all bad.
It's all bad. But the first thing I get out of that was like, oh, it's RZA.
Mm-hmm.
That like, and then after that, it was like, okay, cool. Funky.
Yes.
And yes, I had RZA and funky. So
I figure that's like, oh, that's right up his alley.
Mm-hmm.
But greatest mistake, I figured you'd like just about as much as Breakdown.
I have So we're gonna use the terms that the kids would use today. Mm-hmm. The beat in it is mid. The vocals are mid, and the lyrics are just awful.
So yeah, you didn't like that. I didn't like breakdown either. So it's like if he liked that one, he'll like this one. If he doesn't like that one, he's not gonna like this one.
Yeah. So not the worst thing on the album, just
not great.
It's like there wasn't very much effort put into the creation of the song, and like I said, the vocals were okay, and the beat was okay, but the actual lyrics that they're singing was just kind of. But hey, guess what? There's two more tracks on this, and of course the next one is they're the continuation or the finishing, except it leaves it with the cliffhanger of the dating game. Who's she gonna choose? We don't know because they never
finish it, and nobody cared.
And then the last track is 5 minutes. 5 minutes of Guido Sarducci rambling.
What are you going to do?
The only thing I got out of anything about the Guido Sarducci sketches is he went to the handsome boy modeling school, and then because of his success with the school and his success afterwards, he got to travel all over the place. And he's like, I went to Paris. I went to Milan. I went to Buffalo.
That is the punchline.
Yes. The whole workup. And I went to Buffalo, New York. Okay.
Oh.
Great. Way to deliver the hammer right at the end.
So I figured when I gave this to you, it's like, okay, this is so all over the place. I figure it'll be like 4 or 5 tracks that he'll like.
Yeah, like 3, maybe.
Yeah. But at least we got a couple. We'll call that a win.
We got a couple, yes.
So, I mean, we both gave each other an album where we all had a couple
that
we enjoyed.
We tried, right? I mean, we put a good effort in here.
That's an improvement. I mean, mm-hmm. we did not do as well in previous attempts.
Yes. But this one was good. This one was good.
Yeah. So, listeners, have you heard these slightly less commonly listened to albums? Do you have thoughts on their contents? Do you think they are the best thing ever, or you just kind of wonder what we're talking about? Let us know. You can find us everywhere. I heard that Richard's even going to be doing some yard work videos on Instagram sometime
soon. It is about that season, just so you know.
And I'm still on X while it's still there and doesn't implode with a torrent of porn.
X, and then there's
going to be triple X.
Triple X, right? Is there going to be a double X? What's on double X? Who knows?
But we've got some really good stuff coming. Next week, we're going to be going back to the history of comics in television to the year of 1993. We'd love to have you with us along for the journey. There is some good stuff. There is some meh stuff. Hopefully more good stuff than meh stuff, but interesting no matter what.